Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
You're an accredited journalist.
Yeah, you're given,
I thought that was hilarious.
Like, when you go to things, you're given a press pass. Like, you can go into war zones and you'll get a press jacket,
it's
true. And you're here watching ostensibly a crackhead performing at someone's birthday party.
Like, you got to get release steam somehow, innit? You know what I mean?
Okay. Hello and welcome to Why Aren't You a Doctor Yet? The only podcast that uses cutting-edge science to answer the questions that you actually have. Things like, why is the sky blue? What's up with trees? And if the Wu-Tang Clan are forever and Wu-Tang is for the children, does that logically mean that all children born in the late 90s are now immortal? Only time will tell. As always, I'm your host, Alex Lathbridge. I'm a PhD student in computational biology and cancer, and occasionally I go on stage and be funny about nerdy things. On my left, I have Ozzy Ismail. Oz is a PhD student in neuroimaging and dementia, a Tinder aficionado, and is a compendium of awkward sexual advice.
This is all very true.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I only come with facts. I come with 100% facts.
This is a factually accurate podcast, you guys.
Yeah, factually accurate. On my right, I have Sahel Patel. Sahel is an amazing video maker, journalist, and he makes great content for the BBC. Isn't that right, Sahel?
I'm also good at napping.
He's amazing at napping. If you
I'm
need
professional lessons,
you can find him online at newshound_1337 for that. But we have someone new with us.
Whoa.
Look, in the interests of keeping this podcast fucking top notch, we've brought on a new host.
Go on, reveal it.
It's Hannah Ayu.
Woo! Shit, son! Damn!
Hannah, can you introduce yourself?
I'm Hannah. I'm a nerdy events producer and creator of intricate art.
So what she's saying is she knows more than you. She makes better things than you, and she can do it to a deadline.
She's better than all of you guys, basically.
To be fair, the bar wasn't gonna very high.
What have you guys been up to this week?
Well, I have been doing a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little work stuff. I made a few new videos. Yeah. One that you nerdy motherfuckers are gonna like. It's about Dungeons and motherfucking Dragons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. That's some real gangster shit.
It is.
I did a couple. I did one about a woman who's trying to get IVF treatment and stuff. You know, there's a lot of women in London actually who are paying from their own money to get this treatment, you know. And I did another one about a young poet from the Barbican who did like a poem for us. They're doing one a month, the young Barbican, called the Young Poets. We're going to try and get as many of them on our like Facebook page and stuff like that. So go check it out. I say you can check it out on the BBC London Facebook page and also on our website and stuff like that.
Oz, what have you been up to this week?
I have not been up to very much. Actually, I participated in the third Nobel Prizes, Science Communication Games.
Did you win?
I was in the press.
So you didn't win?
I didn't win.
Okay.
But then it was the Easter break, so yeah. I've been seeing a lot of my friends, cooking a lot of food, and just generally chilling.
Oh. I've been moving house. Which therefore means that I'm absolutely covered in bruises from, like, furniture falling on me.
That's a lie. She's been beating people up. I found out earlier when I was having a private conversation, just now public.
I did not tell you that.
Okay, I made that up, you guys, because she would beat you up if you messed mm-hmm. around with her.
Yeah, Fight Club. Well, a lot of fight. That's how mm-hmm. it wasn't management training that she did. It was just like how to put a motherfucker in an armbar. Like, ah! You will have everything to a deadline, won't you? Yes, Hannah, please. Don't choke me out anymore. So how's moving gone for you? Where have you moved from?
I've moved from Cheltenham in the lovely Cotswolds to London.
Where in London?
North London.
What zone?
I'm not giving out my address.
Damn. She's only been on this podcast for like 10 minutes and she's already wilier than all of us.
Not giving out your address yeah. comes from being a woman.
Oh yeah, damn. Is that what this podcast is missing? As always, guys, let's start with the news. So what has been in the news this week? Let's go with Oz.
Did you guys hear about the guy who injected stem cells into his penis?
I thought it would be fun.
I mean, okay, so obviously I didn't hear about this.
So two guys.
Oh, no, that's something else I was doing.
So basically, this fitness guru, he decided he's this guy who's obsessed with basically making himself a better human person or better person. I don't know. And he wants
to... non-human person.
Yeah. He wants to kind of enhance himself in every possible way. And he thinks that it will be fun to use what science has to offer us to make our bodies better. So what he decided to do was inject stem cells into his penis for no other reason than to make it bigger and perform better. And he's assuring the journalist he spoke to that there's nothing wrong with his penis and it's quite a good penis, but he wanted it to become better.
So look, he wanted it to be bigger. Why can't he just inject saline, like salt water solution, because that would pump it up?
I mean, he wanted to, like, basically he was basing it on this one study that had been done where they took people who had erectile dysfunction, and this is because they had literally no other therapies have worked for them. They took a group of people and they injected stem cells into their penis, and 7 out of the 18 people, I think, who they trialed it on got some function back. So he thought, well, actually, my penis, there's nothing wrong with it. So if I inject stem cells into my penis, it's going to become like even more like better.
Hannah, wouldn't you agree that's fucking sound logic?
Yeah, definitely.
But the logic gets better, okay? So then he was asked how he measured, how he quantified the differences, because he says he saw differences, right? Okay. First of all, go back to the study. The study went on for weeks and weeks, and the first difference they saw were after 5 weeks. This guy is claiming that he saw a difference that same night whilst he was at dinner with his grandmother. Yeah. Why he put that bit in, I don't know. Okay, and when he was questioned how he measured it, he hadn't even taken like the most basic of measuring tools we have, a ruler, right? He said, oh, well, my wife felt the difference inside her.
Oh, that's kind of...
So suddenly his wife's vagina is a caliper. Seriously.
I mean, if it's some... No.
I mean, what I took away from this is, like, I would like science to change because of this, in that I'd like people to just go, oh, you felt that there was a difference, so it must be correct. I get so
much
published.
That's how science works.
I never get anything published because apparently, you know, I don't do my measurements well enough.
I like how there are so many... We're making so many jokes about this. I like that we're making so many jokes about this, but we haven't actually answered the main question. Where the fuck did he get stem cells from?
So he went to this clinic where they do... this clinic that does stem cell research, I guess. But this is the same clinic that actually botched up 3 patients a few years ago when they tried to use stem cells to cure AMD, which is... trying to think what AMD is.
It's a graphics
card. Age-related
company.
Macular degeneration, okay. Which leads to loss of sight. and it mostly affects old people. And they took three patients, they injected stem cells into them, and those patients went blind. And these patients weren't even aware that this was not like an approved thing, or some of them weren't aware. Same clinic, he went there, he got his stem cells extracted from himself, and he injected it into his penis.
Okay, so Sahel, is that something that you would ever do? I'm not asking you, Hannah, just because...
Really?
Yeah, no, just anatomy for now.
Listen, I'm scared taking like a motherfucking like bear trimmer there, man, like, let alone a needle with injecting stuff. Like that. Just, I mean, that's not good.
The thing is, it's not just a needle. So like there was a cancer researcher from Canada wrote a whole article about this guy. And, you know, she works with stem cells on a daily basis. Stem cells can cause cancer.
Really?
And she documented several cases of patients who went through stem cell like trials, therapies, and pretty much the cases that she documents, they all went on to develop a cancerous growth where the stem cells were injected. Some people, you know, started getting incontinence. So there's this guy who had a stroke and he wanted to regain like the function he lost as a result of the stroke, went to a clinic somewhere and got stem cells injected into his spine, ended up growing a tumor in his spine, and he started becoming incontinent, and like all sorts of
that's horrible
stuff started happening.
Is it just people like watching that Family Guy episode? We're like, is this what it is? Yeah. Like, look, Family Guy is not scientifically accurate. Like, there's a talking dog in it, for God's sake.
When Peter Griffin goes in all like messed up, and then they inject some stem cells into him, and he's like completely fine again.
Yeah, and South Park is an episode in it as well. Remember, that was South Park episode was fucked up.
Why would anyone do that? I don't.
But listen to this, right? This is the same guy who wrote an article for Men's Health where he went to get shockwave therapy to his penis to enhance the function to his penis. This is basically where they blast massive sound waves. Again, there's one trial that's been done to cure erectile dysfunction. This guy doesn't have a problem with his, you know, business, but he's doing it to enhance it, right? And again, he's claiming that based on the shockwave therapy, he like got a really massive hard-on. And this was when he like talked about going to dinner with his grandmother.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Gonna open it out to the floor.
Well...
Yeah. Because Hannah's making faces.
Hannah's just
making
disbelief.
Don't have words.
It's like, yo, man. It's like, just be happy with your shit. Like, why are you? You know what I mean?
He's got like a fixation, and I.
Yeah. But you know, like wars are started off just back of people's penis size. So you know, it's a big.
Which war?
As in, like, you know, small man syndrome, isn't it? Like people, as in, there's that stereotype, isn't there? That you know, men try and compensate for. Like when they're lacking in the downstairs area, and that causes like, you know, you can get like arrogant men, or like, you know, things like that,
or men who say fuck all ideas of health and safety, I'm going to inject stem cells,
I'm going to shockwave my penis real quick. It's fucked up. Just leave that shit alone.
But it's like, it's the thing is, it's not, he's not just going at it with no basis. He's taking one or two studies that are around. So the shockwave therapy has been done in an erectile dysfunction study. Same with the stem cell therapy. It's an erectile dysfunction study. And he's using those to kind of claim that it's going to work on normal penises. And a lot of medics and a lot of scientific professionals are saying what works for a condition will not work on a healthy situation necessarily. Mm-hmm. It's not going to enhance function. That's not how science works.
So it's like him saying, if paracetamol makes some pain go away when I'm ill, I'm going to take it when I'm healthy to make me superhuman.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, I see the logical contradiction in that, in a way, isn't it?
Fucking mental.
And it's the fact that he's like claiming the result, he's seeing results straight away, like with the shockwave thing, he saw it that evening when he was having dinner with his grandma, and then with the stem cell thing, he saw it a few days later, whereas it takes much longer according to the studies.
Which is practically proof that it's placebo, because the placebo effect can be instant.
Right.
Whereas to actually have a mechanism of action, it would take time.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good
point. Thank you, Hannah.
Yeah, as in, it's psychological in a way, isn't it? He's like...
But the thing is, right, this is a guy, he's a fitness guru, he has a massive following on social media.
Like, how massive?
Does he need to grow it?
Oh, you guys, I'm trying to be professional here.
I'm sorry, what you've brought to us is a guy who's injected stem cells into the base of his penis. And
I'm just staying on brand.
You're talking about being a professional. Okay. Does this story have any future? Is he going to change the world?
A lot of the studies in the past that have involved stem cell therapies that have gone wrong, you know, things have gone wrong a lot later, a lot much after they got the therapy. So I'm quite worried for his health, first of all. And second of all, he's a guy that apparently he's known for trying out. He's a biohacker. These are people who will try things that have not been released into the public, but they'll try, you know, things themselves because they believe that they can't wait around for science to get their shit together.
Well,
there are some really great stories where that's happened, though. So, like, some of the treatments we currently have for stomach ulcers. I can't remember the exact, like, history, but...
Helicobacter pylori.
Yeah, no one believed him, so he tested it on himself.
Well, there is a difference between a scientist who has done all the research up to sort of 90% and goes, fuck it, I'm going to wing it. So this is Barry Marshall, who won the Nobel Prize in the late 80s or 90s. For his work on Helicobacter pylori, and he found out that stomach ulcers were caused by this thing, this bacteria, Helicobacter pylori. And other people thought it was spicy foods or stress. He showed by giving himself the bacteria, Helicobacter pylori, and then developing stomach ulcers, and then curing it with antibacterials, what's the word for things that...
Antibiotics,
that's the word, with antibiotics, and he won a Nobel Prize. That's a lot different from, you know what I'm going to do today? Crack out the needle. I'm going to be like a phallic heroin addict and just...
Which is what the inventor of Viagra did.
Okay, shit.
Really? That's a urology lecture.
No way.
Wait, what happened there? Because I know Viagra, wasn't it a heart?
Again,
it was a heart.
I can't remember the name. I'm really bad with names.
It's fine, but it was a heart medication, wasn't it?
Right, yeah, it was.
I think.
And... But its first use for erectile dysfunction was demonstrated at the most awkward urology lecture ever.
Didn't he? And yeah, he walked out. He tried it himself, and he walked out with like in a pair of trackies, just with a massive stiffy.
No way.
Yeah,
happens to the best of us.
Scientists are wild, you know that. Once you hit like three papers and a full-time like, you know, job for life, you're like, yeah, fuck it, I can do anything.
Just gonna hang loose.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing is, like, with people, with sort of non-science people trying to modify themselves with science, this is becoming a growing area. Like, biohacking is becoming a thing now. Mm. We have conferences and stuff on biohacking.
But how, talking about this, how safe is it? Like, how can people be safe if they're into this stuff?
That's the thing. They're willing to risk their own lives because they think there's no point waiting around for science to go through all its phases of trials and stuff. They're willing to put their bodies at risk.
Natural selection.
In the chance that it might actually make them better.
Look, with all this stuff, I wish him the best of luck. I'm hoping at least 1% of these cases result in someone finding something amazing, like the 21st century Alexander Fleming finding penicillin. I want to change the game. That's what I want.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it.
Yeah, that's why
I like your optimism.
Yeah, it's Hannah's around, you know.
I bring the optimism. Yeah. Although I was just about to say that, you know, Fleming discovered it by mistake. He wasn't even trying. Well, yeah, he was trying, sort of.
And also he was trying to cure disease, not make his penis bigger.
Look, he fucking tried, okay? What else has been happening in the news, Sahel?
You know, there's a lot of shit going on, but I suppose, you know, what a big, big international story has been this Russia poisoning thing. Which is kind of a big deal, it seems like. But, you know, this ain't the first time this has happened, is it? So, I mean, what do you guys know about this story, the Russian story?
So they use some kind of biological agent to poison some people, right? People who were allegedly spies, is that right?
So it was, I think, if I understand it, it was FSB or ex-KGB, like a Russian intelligence agent, who was in the UK, and then his daughter who had flown in from Russia, and they were supposedly given a nerve agent, or doused with a nerve agent, called Novichok, which... is of a similar, like, from the same class as the VX nerve agent, which was the one that was used to kill Kim Jong-un's, like, brother.
Yeah, I read about this. Yeah. Doing my last minute homework.
But the thing about these agents, these are specifically developed, like, sort of, I don't know, like, biological warfare almost, right? It is. Developed by different countries.
Yes.
They don't just, they're not natural things. They're not just poisons that you can just get, no. Right?
Well, you know, it's very, this whole thing is very Cold War era-esque. And, you know, I think it's important to say, you know, while it's still going ongoing, that these are allegations against Russia. Because one of the things is that, you know, you got to remember this is international politics and it goes a lot deeper than just they did it, he did it. You know, at the end of the day, these kind of conflicts have been going for a long time. You know, the first time Russia had like beef with the West was like, you know, that in the kind of like officially was like in the mid 19th century, like the 1850s, kind of early 1800s was the first Crimean War. And then after that, you had like the Great Game. And you had after that, you had after World War II, Stalin and Winston had a falling out. And then after that, you had the Cold War era. So you have so much history of conflict between these two countries. It's like this little one thing in the grand scheme of the conflicts between them is very minuscule when you look at it.
So if this is your first time listening to the podcast, you might be wondering, what the fuck? I thought this was a science podcast. What's all this? What you need to know is that Sahel, he knows a fuck ton about economic theory, philosophy, and now apparently geopolitics.
Geopolitics.
Dropping some mad knowledge in here tonight.
I like to read sometimes.
I like that he used the first names, like, you know, just, you know, Winston and Joseph, you know.
Yeah, but look, after, yo, I've watched a couple of documentaries on this shit, and, you know, I think one of the interesting things is there's a long history of conflict between Russia and the West. And sometimes we've been allies, sometimes we've been enemies. And, you know, it has escalated recently. But you got to remember that similar thing happened in 2006, right? The poisoning of Alexander Litvinenko.
Litvinenko.
Litvinenko, that's it.
No, I said it and you got it wrong.
Just edit me out and just put your voice in.
Say it properly.
All right, guys.
Lit. Vin.
Vin.
Yanko.
Yanko.
Here we go.
Alexander Litvinenko.
For fuck's sake! Just go.
Who was the first confirmed victim of a kind of lethal or acute radiation
That was polonium. Syndrome.
Polonium. There you go. See.
That's like, you know, they've taken a radioactive element. Mm. So like something like uranium or plutonium, they've actually fucking injected him with it.
That's fucked.
Yeah, whereas this one, this is a bit scarier because this is a nerve agent, like, and it's like it's allegedly, you know, the thing that Russia's allegedly used is a massive chemical weapon, like a weapon of mass destruction.
Mm.
Like,
which is then that I can see what the concern is around that. Mm. I think, does the average person have anything to be concerned of? Probably not. Remember, this is all political spy shit. And to be fair, you know, the reality is, like, you know, we could talk about the moral issue of it, but, you know, we're spying on them. Everyone's spying on everyone. Mm. So it's like, we just got to be careful when we analyze stories like this.
I like the really balanced tone Sahel's giving. That is someone that wants to be able to go into the newsroom, still have a job, and not be killed by Russia.
Russia, look, man, it's alleged. It's alleged, okay?
Like you have to walk past the Russian embassy on your way back home, don't you?
So, do you know what it is? I wouldn't put it past them, but but the thing is, I think with my journalist hat on, I have to be careful because, you know, you got to understand that this is all part of a bigger geopolitical battle for power that's been going on for hundreds of years. And, you know, I think these little points, yeah, they make interesting stories and talking points, but, you know, just try not to get caught up in them. Does that make sense? I feel like everyone's going to be like, yo, who's the Russian spy in this room? Damn.
And now to make a big deal out of it, Austin Hannah.
But isn't there like a fallout from the use of chemical weapons? Like it can affect other people who have, like the radiation count following the polonium was high enough that it could have put other people in danger.
Mm.
I believe so, yes. Well, that was one of the things that was talked about on the news at the time, yeah. And the same thing's happening now. So with this Novichok nerve agent, because people don't really know which one it is. It's one of a sort of a family. They have an idea. You know, these things have a really small lethal dose. And so depending on when these two people were dosed with it, was it back in their house? Was it in their car? Was it in public? that all affects who else could have been affected by it, which is absolutely mad, especially when it's something that we don't really have much public knowledge about. It's not like polonium, where it's, you know, it's got some Wikipedia page that has all the effects or a lot of the effects. This is like, hey, this article isn't very big, but, you know, potentially it could be.
Yeah, well, you know, like you're saying, it's linking back to the Cold War. You know, it's an arms race, isn't it? Who can find the most sophisticated secret ways of killing each other? And, you know, I think the important thing is in these situations is also, you know, as citizens, you know, I think the problem with Russia is it's quite. I'm gonna go to.
So the problem with Russia is.
This is getting too journalistic.
Let's talk more about the science behind it.
No, no. So the science, I mean, we want to talk about science behind it, but it's quite difficult to talk about because not a lot of information has been released because this is a weapon of mass destruction, is what they're calling it. You know, again, drawing parallels with all the big weapons and big scary things that we've seen in the last 10, 15 years before a massive war breaks out. So here's me hoping that war doesn't break out with Russia.
Please, no.
Just,
I want to live.
I want to live.
You know, Oz wants to be able to go back to Sri Lanka and fly over Russian airspace.
But I think, you know, how much of it is just posturing is the real question that I want to ask.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, so should, I mean, are you guys scared after hearing about this?
I mean, it's sure as hell it's scary, yeah, that this can happen.
Yeah, but are you scared? I don't ask if it's scared.
It worries me, but I try not to get too scared by the news because I think once you start being conscious about that, you just can't stop.
The thing is, like, you know, it's just like, you know, when there's a terrorist attack in a big city, people in that city become very scared to, like, take public transport, to be annoyed. It's the same as that.
Except this happened in Kent, so no one cares.
I mean, people in Kent are probably shitting themselves, to be honest.
I have family in Kent.
I'm so sorry for you.
But just because they're in Kent.
People in Kent were shitting themselves when fire was discovered, okay?
Kent's a nice place.
I've been to Tunbridge Wells.
Okay.
I'm derogatory of anything outside the M25. He says living in Bath.
Exactly. I did want to say.
Hey, look, like, try living where I grew up, man. You got more shit to worry about.
What, Ilford?
That? That's inside the M25, isn't it?
It's a nice place, Ilford.
It can be. Come to my house.
No. Stop trying to invite me to your house.
Hey.
I'm not coming to your house.
Can I have some most?
Hannah, you know what time it is, right? It's time for.
It's Hannah time.
Hannah, it's time for you to bring us some optimism. And I think this can only be done in a section that I perhaps arrogantly have titled Hannah's Highlights. It forces you to be optimistic and never cynical.
I am rarely cynical about anything other than myself, so...
That's good. Yeah. Keep the imposter syndrome alive.
Obviously.
But can you... I mean, you know some pretty amazing people.
I do.
So do you think you could, for at least the next, I don't know, few episodes, tell us about some amazing people?
I can.
Do you think you can start today?
I can.
Okay.
So, number one on my list is a science-inspired artist who I got to meet in real life for the first time last weekend. So we've both been following each other on various social media for, I think, quite a few months, if not a year, and I've always been really inspired by their work. And their name is Jennifer Crouch. And last week I walked into a workshop that she was running and she immediately gave me a hug and we really hit it off, and she's an amazing person and a really, really talented artist as well.
Jennifer's the best.
My next person is Angela Siney, who is a science journalist and writer and favourite of the podcast. Angela has recently written a book called Inferior, which is how science has historically got women wrong. And I'm slowly working my way through the book because I sort of need a break after every chapter, but it's awesome.
So being a guy and reading that book, I don't have to sob every 5 seconds about how the patriarchy has fucked me over. So I've blitzed through it and it's fucking phenomenal.
I need to get through the rest.
Like,
but
it's fucking phenomenal.
The things that are really tough to read, you know, like I read zoology at university and...
You can tell that you went to Oxbridge because you read shit.
Oh,
Yeah, you fancy.
Technically, I read natural sciences.
Yeah, not like the rest of us here.
I'm still learning to read, so, you know.
The rest of us study stuff. You read.
I knew, as I said that, you were going to pick me up on it.
Posh.
Studying zoology, like, you know, Darwin and Darwin's theories and his original writing, you know, they run through everything you do. And then you find yourself reading about, like, exchanges he had where he genuinely argued that women were, you know, inferior to men from an intelligence point of view, not just a physical point of view. And that's, like, it's hard to read. Mm. I think it's amazing that Angela sort of brought all this together, and she's, you know, published this really well-written book. You know, it's a really easy to read book if, you know, you just need those breaks in between for me. So yeah, and Angela's just generally amazing, and I think it's great how she sort of bigs up other people alongside her own work as well.
So, and I know that she's writing another book, isn't she?
She is. I don't know that much about it.
All I know is that it's on race and science.
Yes, I do know that.
That's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And by fun, I mean it's going to be my Twitter profile photo for a little while. I'm gonna throw it at people in the same way I throw the good immigrant at people who are saying nonsense about race. I hope it's thick. Angela, if you listen to this, I hope it comes out in only hardback. Okay. Yeah.
With like spikes on the cover. Yeah, or something like that.
If you could.
The special throwing edition.
Yeah, if you could. All right.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Being a young black man in academia, and people are like, oh, I'm not being racist, but... They're being racist.
Everyone prefaces that. Not being funny, but...
There is no good end to that sentence.
There's no good end.
Not being racist, but can we get some Percy Pigs? And you're there having to unpack. Why, what could have been there? Anyway, so who is next on your list?
So last, but most definitely not least, is one of my favourite people on Twitter, Adriana Lowe, who is a behavioural ecologist and primatologist.
Oh, my God.
And I just find her Twitter feed... absolutely hilarious. It brightens my day every day. And thankfully, Twitter's algorithms have worked this out. And so Addie's posts always appear in my What Have You Missed?
We can find more about all these amazing people in the show notes below. We'll put links to their websites, their Twitters, everything. And hopefully go check them out, because they come recommended by Hannah. They come recommended by God.
Wow. That's quite profound.
Cambridge Analytica is a data analytics firm, and it's at a centre of a dispute over the harvesting and the use of personal data, and whether or not it was used to influence the outcome of like the US presidential election, the recent one with Donald Trump, and our Brexit referendum. And it centres around data taken from Facebook. So do you guys like hear about this?
I'm very interested in this topic.
Okay. So recently Channel 4 did a thing where they sent an undercover reporter to meet executives from there. And they posed as a Sri Lankan businessman wanting to influence a local election. There you go. All right. Yeah.
Represent.
It wasn't me, just for the record.
How can we be sure, Ozzy? That's the question.
We want Ozzy to win number one researcher. No. And so the reporter opposes a Sri Lankan businessman. And the Cambridge Analytica boss, this guy called Alexander Nix, he was filmed giving examples of how Cambridge Analytica could discredit like any political rivals by arranging like various smear campaigns, including setting up encounters with prostitutes.
Honey traps.
Yeah, so honey trapping and staging situations in which like apparent bribery could be caught on camera. So, well, here's that. That's dodgy, right? Right? But here's what's really interesting, because it's all about data. So what Cambridge Analytica is alleged to have done goes sort of a lot beyond the idea of just collecting information that you're giving out willingly online. So like you guys all give out data willingly online, right? Sort of pictures, and you might tag other people in locations. Like, so you give out some data online, but it's about the things that you aren't giving out willingly. So it's, and it's about how they've done it. So it really boils down to how they took the data, how they analyzed it, and then what they've done with the results. So imagine you're on Facebook and you're doing one of those surveys that was super popular like a couple of years back. Like, which friend's character are you?
I mean, my life is run by those surveys.
Okay, so this is really useful for you. Hannah, do you do those?
Yes.
So Hale, do you use those?
What surveys?
Yeah, those like, which Lord of the Rings character are you, or which...
Which
no, I don't actually, surprisingly. I don't really do that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Okay, you're fine. These two have to worry. I say fine, but...
He's not, though. He's not done a quiz. Like, come
okay.
on.
Okay, so imagine you're taking one of those quizzes. So which, like, which friend's character are you?
I mean, obviously Monica, but yeah.
Okay, and it asks you like, oh, you're walking in the rain and a cat runs out in front of you. What do you do? A, B, C, and D, where, I don't know, one of the answers is pick up the cat, take it home and love it. That's, I'm assuming, what you would do, right?
I mean, if it's a stray cat, no, I'll just walk past it.
Okay, cool. But at the end of it, you get the answer of Monica, right?
I mean, yeah.
Okay, cool. So that's a bit of fun, but if the allegations around Cambridge Analytica are true, it's not just a bit of fun, because the questions seem completely unconnected to the rest of your life. What Cambridge Analytica claims to be able to do is take that data, analyze it, and build up like a really detailed psychological profile of you. So like, yeah, your political beliefs, your race, your income, your hopes, your fears, like everything about you, like even like super private stuff that you've never outwardly shared. So it's doing that all by this indirect questioning. Mm.
And then what is it doing after it builds that profile?
So their boast, right, is they can do this so well that they can understand you more than you understand yourself.
What?
Yeah. So what they're saying is they can know you guys so well that they'll be able to know what kind of propaganda you'll be most susceptible to. And then how you make decisions and how you can be persuaded to change your mind.
I mean, as long as someone knows how to do that.
Yeah, no. So basically what they're doing is they're seeing how you can be like subtly manipulated.
It's incredible
from a scientific point. It's super interesting, like, you know, how this technology works. But from a personal point, and, you know, it's crazy to think that this technology could have such influence.
Yeah. So think about it in the, like, if you were applying it to like... an election, they could say that they know you so well that they can then say, well, if I want this person to vote for this political party, I know that a small video ad placed in the bottom right corner with bright colors is likely to get their attention. Bam.
I see. But then, like, in terms of like political stuff, right, a lot of people have already made up their mind about what parties they support. How susceptible are they to change that based on these campaigns?
So that is true, but think about this. They're not just doing it to you, and they aren't necessarily doing it directly just to you. They're also doing it to your friends.
Right.
So they can work out like a profile of your friends and which of your friends is the weak link, or like the general mood in your social circle.
So they're targeting the ones that are sort of haven't quite made up their mind. They're kind of like, can go either way.
Well, they're targeting everyone. They're not targeting anyone. They're just collecting as much data as possible.
yeah. to then target those groups. Well,
that's what they're saying. They're saying that's one of their offer, one of their business practices, saying that they could have done. They boast that they were able to help the US presidential election. And so being able to say that, you know, if you do these surveys and your friends do all these surveys, and between that and all the data that Facebook already has, they can find out like how you're friends with them, how you interact with them. And if this is true, if all of this is true and it can be applied in the real world, as they're saying it they can with the undercover reporting, and they're claiming they have with sort of the American election, it's a bit scary to think they found a way of harvesting data to brainwash you, I guess.
It is, you know, that's incredibly frightening. And the sophistication of propaganda, it's like, you know, propaganda is something that we've always been used to since politics existed, you know, since feudal times, you know, propaganda that the king or the queen was, you know, of divine blood and all this stuff. So propaganda is nothing new, but the thing that I find scary is exactly the sophistication of it, how accurate it can be. And again, if that's true, depending on how accurate it is at profiling people, that is in the wrong hands. Well, you could say it's already in the wrong hands. In the wrong hands, it could be, could lead to devastating consequences. I mean, look at the US election. I think it was a good example of that, isn't it? If this stuff is true.
So I think what's interesting recently is things that have been happening. So so Facebook says that at the time, it was super common for like apps and games, so all the things that you connect your Facebook, to be able to harvest this sort of data. So data from you, data from your friends. And they're saying that about 50 million users, the data have been scraped off. So they're saying that they've scraped the data of about 50 million users, like basically in the US mostly. And it was harvested without their explicit consent, and mostly via their friends' networks. And Cambridge Analytica denies any of it was used as part of the service that they provided to the Trump campaign. So they provided services, but they're saying it wasn't this, even though they're also saying to the undercover reporters that, oh, we can help you, we can help you. So I know at time of recording, MPs have called Mark Zuckerberg in. I know the American Senate have done that as well. I think Mark Zuckerberg's been like, nah, fuck that.
But did he also like say something like, oh, oops, sorry? Like he was like trying to be like apologetic about it. But it's like, no, this is not about apologizing. This is fucked up. Like, well, you need to sort this shit out.
You know, talking about the backlash of this, I'm just reading here. And trust in Facebook fell to just 41%, I mean, in handling personal data. And, you know, to fair play to them, there have been investigations on this in the past. But, you know, it's obviously a serious issue, isn't it?
Do you think this is going to make you guys use Facebook any less?
I think, you know...
The silence is like...
Everyone's just like shell-shocked. I'm like, you know, I'm interested in this, it's very shocking.
It's like when you, like you as a user, like for me as a user, as a Facebook user, to me, it's just a bit fun. I just occasionally post something. Probably post less now than I used to post a few years ago. Maybe a few years ago, I'd be more influenced by what was appearing. I probably would maybe more likely to change my mind about, like, say, who I vote for based on what I see. Whereas now, when I see something on Facebook and I think, well, that's bullshit, I'll either go and verify that or I'll just ignore it. Like, it's easier to just ignore shit that you don't like on Facebook. So I feel like now it probably, that sort of stuff affect me less, but it's still worrying that it can take my information that I've put on there and then do stuff like this. Like, that's the uncomfortable part, I think.
I think I put a lot less on Facebook than I used to, but part of that is sort of growing up a bit. But I also hang around on Facebook less. Like, I might just pop in for a little bit, check what's happened and leave. Whereas I think when I was a teenager, I probably would just sit on it, you know, doing silly quizzes and things like that. So yeah, maybe I don't, like, wouldn't necessarily see things that pop up.
Which friend's character are you?
I can't remember.
Joey.
But one thing that does give me hope is how, like, bad, like, Facebook's targeted ads are at me. Like, they're just absolutely, like, in the past month, I seem to get an ad nearly every day for fertility clinics. And I'm just like, I have no, what, like, just because I've hit the age of 28, like, you've decided I must have children.
oh my God.
That's really funny.
Is that actually
your
so?
Like, are like Asian linked?
Clearly, yeah.
Like, yeah, only. Your targeted ads are essentially the AI auntie. Oh, you are 28 now.
Yeah. but those aunties normally start with, why aren't you married? They don't go straight to, do you need help having a child?
Yeah. No, what Facebook is doing is quite advanced. It's saying, you should have a baby. Or culturally, you have to be married first. Yeah. So it's letting it feel like it's your decision. I see you, AI. I see you.
I see you, AI.
I see you, Facebook. I know
you're then again, like, that's an interesting point about targeted ads. Like, my targeted ads feel more relevant because sometimes I get like, here, look at this posh underwear because you're gay. And then, but then, like, what it doesn't realise is I'm just like, hey, man, if I can afford to buy this underwear, I'd rather eat some cake buy regular underwear.
Which I feel like if anyone follows you on social media, they'd know
they would
that you
prefer exactly.
The cake.
They'd know I'd, like, choose cake over nice underwear.
And this is why Oz has a UTI.
I do not.
We've all been there. So good.
So Sahel,
I thought
you?
I was going to die when I got married.
So what about you, Sahel? Do you think that Facebook,
you know,
are you scared?
I think this is one of those things, weirdly, that I'm really, really interested in. I'm probably more scared, not about my individual safety and privacy, because to be fair, you know, talking about ads, mine's just like, do you want to buy this camera lens or, like, you know, stuff like that? So it's quite innocuous, but, like, the stuff that really scares me is the fact that, you know, with the power to influence people with this degree of accuracy, that can, you know, lead to bad things, like, you know, Donald Trump being president. So it's like, you know, questionably bad. But the power that this unlocks, you know, we're saying propaganda has been around for a long time, and it's developed sophistication. They used to have targeted ads on TV in America, and that was quite a sophisticated system. So it's just the evolution of that. It's quite fascinating but scary at the same time.
Let's look at Oz's Facebook. So Oz, you've downloaded all of your Facebook data.
Yes, I downloaded my Facebook data, and most of it I was unsurprised. Oh, sorry. Like, it has the information I put in already, like, you know, my sort of email addresses, my phone number, blah, 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 blah.
It's got all of your email addresses, so every email address you've used to log in.
Yeah, basically it has it. But again, like, some of them, I don't really use them, so I'm not worried about them.
So it's got family?
It's got my family. Again, I added them there.
Okay. All your education, your workplaces.
So basically it's my CV.
You worked at Virgin Media?
I mean, I worked sort of for Virgin Media in an indirect way. I put it there because it might make me seem cooler.
You were a PDTV salesperson.
That's PDTV stands for Price Drop TV. Do you know what Price Drop TV is?
You worked for Price Drop TV.
I worked for Price Drop TV.
What did you do?
They had a retail store in Hatfield many years ago. And the price dropped every day. It was confusing as fuck. People would come in and be like, how much is this? We don't know because there are 10 different prices on it. And I'm like, well, the price drops every day. That's why it's price drop.
Okay, and it's got your screen names, your act. Oh, your
can we talk about the fact that one of your interests is Jim Al-Khalili?
Can we look at the fact that your only interest there is Jim Al-Khalili?
Again, this is like, I don't understand why it's only put that as my interest. Like, that's weird.
Why is your only interest Jim Al-Khalili?
No, I have other interests.
No. Go back to it. Interests. Jim Al-Khalili.
Maybe Jim Al-Khalili hasn't classified himself as music, movies, television, or other.
Well, he's classified as one of your interests.
But
so.
he's an interesting man.
Okay, you like a lot of music and you like a lot of others. You are a real group follower.
I mean, I'd like to keep on top of my group interests.
So your interest is Jim Al-Khalili and your favourite athlete?
No, because I hate him. Please don't have that on record. He's a fucking prick.
Have you met him? Is he
no, like... he's just like, his social media is just so pricky.
Okay,
I just
go
can't
down.
Stand
go with the bottom. We'll see what other things you're interested in. Groups. Yeah, well.
My pages aren't your doctor. That's because I admin that page.
Yeah, that's good.
Again, this is not all the stuff.
Okay,
like,
okay. Let's see what else they know.
But the thing
you.
Is, what's worrying is that they have. There's a bit called contact info, and go. Initially I thought that was those were my friends. No, it's gone through my contacts on my phone in my phone book in my phone.
Yeah.
Taken every single contact I've ever had in my phone, whether I've deleted it. Doesn't matter, they're all still there.
Wow.
Some of these people, I don't even know them anymore. Like, who are these people? Like, who's Mario?
Mario.
Who is Mario?
Yeah, who is Mario?
I don't know. I don't know who Mario is. Like
a
some
one night stand that went horribly wrong.
Probably is. Sorry, Mario, I don't remember you anymore.
The one that got away.
And like who are, like, there are exes in here that I'm sure are not on my phone anymore.
Mario's probably listening to this podcast. How could you forget about me?
Mario,
I thought we had something special.
Mario's got like a little thing on his wall, like there's pictures of you every time you put a new gig photo up online. It's just
with like strings of pins linking events.
Oh no,
I have to find you.
This is really worrying.
Every time you do a new gig, Mario's the first person to buy a ticket. Doesn't turn up.
I mean, if he's in the audience, at least, like, you know, he's not killed me yet, so that's not a bad thing.
So wow, these are so much contact.
So many.
How do I look at this stuff?
Like, you literally don't know half, so half these people are. You have to go to your on the settings bit.
Yeah.
Wait, so this is like, wait, same 443 megabytes.
Yep, that sounds right. So yours is 443 meg.
Yeah.
That is quite big. It's a lot of data. So let's look back at some of the other stuff. So you've got
Like, this was the only thing that worried me. Most of the other stuff, I was like, okay, I expected it to be there. But then the other bits that I was like surprised by is this tab called applications. And it's telling me that I've allowed access to all these apps, which I don't remember doing. So again, it's one of those things where you sort of agree to some terms and conditions, I guess, when you like download an app and it has some kind of link to Facebook, which is not clear. I'm not saying this necessarily like it's done it on secretly. It's not necessarily clear to the person, to the user. Like, I don't know what Brown Chow is. I don't know what...
Sorry, what?
There's an app called Brown Shout. Like, what the hell is that?
I thought you said it was called Brown Shout. And I was like, is that a really, really niche dating website? Instagram is owned by Facebook. You've got Tinder on there.
Yeah.
Happn, Draw Something, Words
Draw Something
Friends.
Was great. Remember when that was a thing?
I do. So all these apps are now connected with your Facebook. And that...
But then it also shows you like the really old stuff. Like, remember when you used to be able to poke people?
Oh, wow. It's got a history of all your pokes.
Yeah. Wow. Again, this is not complete because I'm sure I used to poke people a lot more.
Really?
You poke slut.
But then here's the good thing, right? Then it shows you all your friends, right? It has a whole list of your friends. Then it shows you the people that you received friend requests from and didn't respond.
Oh, shit.
The declined friend requests, that you declined. The ones that you removed.
Wow.
And you go through it and you go, who the hell are these people?
Wait, go to the bottom.
I've never deleted anyone on Facebook.
So you've got people that you're following, and at the bottom it says something called friend peer group.
Yeah.
And so that is, it's saying basically what category your friends fall into, and it's established adult life.
What does that mean?
It means all your friends are adults.
Oh, that's good.
A teenager. So it's building up a profile of who you are.
Does that mean that we're not his real friends?
We're adults.
Hey, Hannah.
I'm an established
adult. I mean, I got Facebook when it first started in 2007, okay? So...
Okay, I mean, look, let's see. What? So does it say anything about your place created? I'm wondering, does it say anything? Go to security. So it can see...
Whenever I logged in.
That's an entire history of you logging in. Jesus, ridiculous. Okay, let's see. Does it say anything about who you... I'm trying to work out if it says anything about, like, who it thinks you are.
Photos?
Oh wow. These are some old photos.
You gotta
come. Wow.
Look at this. Me and my clubbing days. This was a great night, actually.
Really,
this is with my friend amazing. Steve.
So,
not the Steve that you know, but
so Facebook
Steve.
Is bringing it all back.
This is actually quite new. Like, that's old. That's my something birthday.
Wow. These are...
it's a kitty.
Okay, so are you surprised at all by the amount of information Facebook has?
The one that surprised me was the contact information. Again, like, because I don't really remember saying to Facebook, take all my contacts. I try and switch those off because, again, you don't want people, like, randomly popping up as friend suggestions. So I turn all those off. But also, it's not just that. It's the fact that, like, who gets this information? Like, isn't there a whole thing about... this information being passed on to people who are not supposed to have it.
Like Mark Zuckerberg said, that you agreed to this shit when you signed up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's how true. Much do you really agree? Like, this is the thing,
yeah,
isn't it?
But
like, you can... on one level, you have to press the agree button if you want to go ahead. But sometimes these, like, what you're agreeing to is pages and pages and pages of information.
Yeah, you're right. I think people weren't aware of what they were signing up for.
Right,
so isn't that... I think it is a little bit unfair when that saying exactly that you knew what you signed up for, but... You know, there were warnings given to people about this kind of stuff. And like, you know, I use Facebook for sharing news articles and stuff like that, but I don't share as much personal stuff on there because of that reason. But then again, you know, how much of a big deal is that, having your information out there?
I mean, the thing is, like, so on one hand, the information that you can find, so there's one tab that's called messages, and all the messages I've ever sent through Facebook Messenger, which I assume to be like a text messaging service, if someone gets that's any conversation I've had, they have it.
Yeah, that's true, actually. That's quite insensitive information. Right. Are your messages in there as well?
Yeah. So, like, I'm going to open, like, this is an old conversation with two of my old housemates. And, like, it's talking about, we're talking about places we've been, council tax, like, addresses are here.
Wow.
So, if you wanted to, like, let's say if I deleted a message from my inbox... Would that still be
this
stored?
This is all everything. This is all that information.
Amazing. That's crazy. If you went dirt on people... Sorry, Anna, go on.
Like, messages and pokes and photos don't surprise me because you're doing that through Facebook. So it makes sense that they'd have it.
Mm.
But all the contacts that have ever been on your phone whilst you've... Like, that just... Because that requires an app pulling information that it doesn't need to.
Well... Facebook owns Instagram, and a lot of people find new Instagram contacts, and they go, oh, I want to add my Instagram friends. I want to add my current contacts to Instagram, which I know you do, Oz, because you sometimes run the Why Aren't You a Doctor Yet Instagram account, and it got linked to your Facebook.
I don't know how. Again, it's not even, I haven't even linked it on my own Instagram.
Well, you did it here. We've got proof that you have linked it. It's not like it's doing it without your permission, but it's happened.
So, like, if I open the app, right, and I'll show you.
He's gonna just show it to us. Like, I didn't do this.
I didn't do this, I'm telling you. So, like, it's linked to my personal Instagram, right? But then when I log into the Why Not a Doc Instagram...
I removed you.
No, but even before you did that...
No, I removed the you linking the contacts.
No, but I hadn't... This is what I mean. I hadn't linked it.
Okay.
So basically what I'm saying is within the app, it's somehow doing it within the app.
So have you done it with your personal one?
To my personal one,
yes. So as soon as you then manage another one, it goes, same phone.
Yeah, but when I open the settings, it's not linked.
It's still drawing that information.
Whatever's happening within the app, yes.
Yeah, it's still doing it. So that's a slightly more contentious point, you know, because should they be allowed to draw your contacts without, like, your approval? Well, I don't know, like, you know.
So now that you know all the data that Facebook has, are you guys going to stop using these services? Yes or no?
No.
No.
Nah.
Do you think you can?
I just don't feel I use it enough to be worried about it.
I think I might just think twice about some of the things that
right.
I share.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I think that's a good point. You know, think about what you're sharing, but also... I think maybe this comes to a place of arrogance, maybe, but, you know, in my head, I'm like, I'm not going to be swayed by propaganda. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not going to be swayed by these ads. But when you think about it, you know, I think, there is something you said. You've got to be just a bit more careful how you share stuff on Facebook and social media and how you also consume ads and things that show up on there.
You know, he's saying he's not swayed by ads or anything, but this podcast being an audio medium, you not being able to see him visually. The man who says he's not swayed by targeted ads is currently decked out in a full Nike tracksuit.
Almost full Nike.
Yeah. So
the boxers added us.
Yeah, so this man is a hype beast right now. So don't listen to him. Yeah, no targeted
all
ads.
All lies.
I see you.
Slave to the brands.
So we've got time, just one question. And one question that we've got in off Twitter has been, how the fuck has someone got super gonorrhea when Oz spent a lot of time in episode 3 talking about super gonorrhea being a problem? So Oz, can you quickly, very quickly, explain what's going on?
Yeah, basically someone in the UK has got the most super of super gonorrheas. So super gonorrhea already existed when we had that episode. But now, so when we had that episode, I think it was a resistance to one of the three different antibiotics that is used to treat gonorrhea. There's a guy now who's got a strain of gonorrhea that is resistant to two of the three antibiotics. So this is the most super strain that has ever existed. It's in the UK. So be scared, people, because antibiotic resistance is not a joke, okay?
Listen, I'm not scared of nobody.
You should be scared of this guy.
So basically, he's two of the three antibiotics have not worked. So they're now trying the third one. Hopefully it will work. But what this highlights is antibiotic resistance, not just for gonorrhea, for a lot of diseases, is becoming a problem. And it's a huge problem for pharmaceutical companies to like try and fight, just keep up with the ever-changing nature of, you know, these bugs that keep developing resistance.
So I'm sure it's the same advice that you gave last time, but what can people do?
First of all, have conversations about safe sex, wear condoms, and just generally be sensible about your sexual adventures.
What about taking full regimens of antibiotics if need be?
That is also true. Like, if you do get prescribed antibiotics, take the whole dose. Don't fuck around with them. Don't just take half of them, because that's how bugs develop resistance.
I like that this guy is essentially like, have they named him?
No, of course not.
Because he's essentially the One Punch Man of STIs. Like, he's like Goku and Superman put together.
Although I like that the BBC, when they reported this, they said that he caught it from someone in Southeast Asia, and then they confirmed that his partner has not got it.
Oh, the BBC's been messy, I like
that. I know, BBC's like stirring some shit.
So guys, we have come to the end of our episode. You can make sad noises.
Aww. Sad noises.
I am very sad.
Sad noises.
Hannah, it's been your first episode. How have you found it?
It's been great fun.
You're going to come back for more?
Maybe.
You have to. There's a contract.
Need you. We don't leave us. I have abandonment issues.
Oz, have you enjoyed yourself?
I've had a great time.
Sahel, have you enjoyed yourself?
I always enjoy myself.
As always, I've been Alex Lathridge. I've been joined by Oz, Sahel, and Hannah.
Goodbye. Bye, guys.
Bye.
And this has been Why Aren't You a Doctor Yet? Peace. So you might be thinking, oh my God, how do I hear more about this amazing podcast that combines humor, entertainment, pop culture, and cutting edge science? Or you might be thinking, oh wow, these guys are geniuses and I have questions only they can answer. Or you might be thinking, oh wow, these guys aren't even real doctors and I know way more about science than them and I want them to know this, so how do I let them know this as quickly as possible? So what you've got to do for us right now is leave us an iTunes review. I know you hear it everywhere, but it's super important because we want that sweet internet validation. Or you can send us your questions or comments by email. It's at whynotadoc@gmail.com. And if you want to stay up to date with what we're doing, you can go by social media. It's at whynotadoc on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Remember, iTunes review, follow us on social media, annoy us by email. Thanks.